You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hi, I'm Rena Ninen, and this is Ask Lisa, the Psychology of Parenting podcast. It's a podcast to help parents better understand their kids. Dr. Lisa Demoor, a psychologist with 3 decades of experience and the author of 3 New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. Both of us are moms ourselves, and we're eager to hear from you. So send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademoor.com. And you can join our community by following us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. The handle is Ask Lisa Podcast. And also subscribe to our brand new YouTube channel, Ask Lisa Podcast. Episode 164, Why is My Kid Hooked on Luxury Skincare? Well, we wanted to do this episode for a while because we have heard from so many of our listeners that their daughters, their tweens and teens, are really into skincare. And some parents are wondering, is there a point when it's a little too much?
Mm-hmm. No, this is like hot and interesting. Mm-hmm. I think complicated.
Complicated. I want to get into the complicated. Let me read you this letter. It says, Dear Dr. Lisa, I'm listening to your podcast all the way from Romania. Yes, way across the pond, well at the outskirts of Europe, I could say. I can't even remember how I came across your podcast, but I'm thrilled I did. It helps tremendously with raising an opinionated, strong-minded, yet anxious daughter, so I cannot thank you enough for this. Moving on to my actual question, my 10-year-old daughter seems to have made a fixation on skincare products and related videos on YouTube. All her friends buy and use a lot of stuff, some of them totally inappropriate for their age, like serums, for instance. I try to fight it, but it's become increasingly difficult. So I started doing the appropriate research, and I gave in to what was generally considered non-harmful, a face cleanser, a hydrating cream, a face eye mask, now and then, and needless to say, she constantly wants more and newer stuff. Most of her friends buy whatever they want with almost no restrictions, and that makes me the villain and harms my relationship with my daughter, which I hate more than anything. So dear Dr. Lisa, my question to you is multifold. What's an appropriate age for kids to start using fancy skincare products? How can we find products that are age appropriate? And how can I possibly choose between my daughter's skin health long term and our relationship? Thank you so much for all that you are doing. Oh my gosh, this says it all in everything as a parent I feel like I am dealing with right now as well.
Is that right? Are you finding this at home too? Is this
totally
coming up in your world?
I mean, I think the dilemma for me is explaining to my daughter that while she's being marketed these products, many of them are for aging or mature skin, and she doesn't need the 800 peptides in
exactly.
her skincare
exactly.
routine. What's your take when you hear this, Lisa?
Okay. So I have sort of 2 reactions to this. And the first I think I very much share with the letter writer, which is this like, oh my Lord, right? Like this feels, and it's what you're describing. Like this is like so commercial and this is so, you know, capitalistic mm-hmm. marketing to kids and expensive. A lot of what they're into is expensive and unnecessary and it feels vain and it feels self-preoccupied. I mean, it's got all of this kind of very unattractive content hovering around it mm-hmm. that's very off-putting, I find. So that's one side of me. The other side of me is like anthropologically fascinated.
You know, like, by tween skincare? Tell me more.
Yeah, that this is like just blown up as this thing. And this is what I love about being a psychologist is that we're actually way less judgmental than people think we are. Like, we're like, this is interesting. Like, what's at play? What's going on here?
Why is this a thing, Lisa? Why are tween and teen girls so into their skincare routine?
Okay. So taking the anthropological approach to this, like what I think is happening is the convergence of a variety of forces that are important. Okay. So the first one, because this kid's like 10, right, in this letter. I mean, she's young. And that's what we're hearing, right, that we're hearing. And I think that's especially where it's most off-putting is like these young girls like really into like Sephora, not the drugstore, right? I mean, it's like that's where we're hearing it. So first thing, Rena, 10-year-olds have always been collectors. 10-year-olds love to collect things. And 10-year-old girls in particular, and see if you can like rummage around and in your own memory of like what you were collecting. But I was thinking about this. Okay. The collecting trends I have seen, because I think a lot of times kids are collecting these little skincare items, right?
Totally.
I mean, it feels like part of a collection. Okay. Trends I have seen. When I was a 10-year-old, lip smacker.
Totally.
Did you have those with the flavors and the smells?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Then other trends, Beanie Babies.
Yeah.
Collecting Beanie Babies. Then short-lived phases, silly bands and jelly bracelets.
Oh, totally.
Right?
Totally.
And then duct tape. Remember, like my
different
older
colored
daughter,
duct tape. Yeah.
Totally into duct tape. Yeah. And like went through this phase of like wanting all sorts of duct tape, like tons and tons of duct tape, like this huge collection. And so part of what's at work here is 10-year-old girls have always been, and 10-year-old boys have similar, like they have their own interests, but this is very, for now, very girl-focused topic, of wanting a whole bunch of a collection that their friends also have. Like, what are the other things you can think of? Do you
charm
remember?
Charm bracelets.
Other?
Do you remember charm bracelets of the 80s? Like, still thinking about it gives me warm fuzzies of all the little charms that you would collect for your the necklace or your bracelet.
Exactly.
It makes sense. Erasers.
And so that's in here. And erasers.
Scratch
pencils.
And sniff stickers. I mean, I could
go
on and on. But none of these have, like, chemicals that can damage your skin.
Right. I mean, that's where it takes the yucky turn. But part of what's driving this, and the other thing, it's really fun if we think about it, Rena, a lot of what you're describing, what I'm describing, and these face care products, they're pastel and they're fruity.
True.
You know, like the charm bracelets often had like a smell attached to them, or like they were pastels. Like it's sort of in the neighborhood of the kind of stuff that 10-year-old girls have always collected. Like the Beanie Babies, they're pastel, they're cute. Like, I mean, it's the branding and marketing, it's you know, these are not things sold that are, you know, with a lot of black on them, right? I mean, it's very, you know, very sort of cute kid stuff. So there's that. I think there's another thing in that little girls, 10, 11, have always sort of wanted to like play at being older. Like that's not new. That's not new, right? And I have forever in my practice cared for families where they're like, it's so weird. We saw her in her bedroom, like, you know, singing along to a song and doing these sexy moves. And she's just 10. And what is this about? And what it's about is younger kids are fascinated with older kids. They sometimes aspire to be involved with older things. And Rena, I was thinking about, okay, this is where you and I can sometimes fall into this fabulous, like, tiny generational gap. I was 10 when the Go-Go's put out Beauty and the Beat in 1981. Where were you?
In 1981, I was 2 and have no recollection of life.
Okay, exactly. It's so funny. Okay, so the Go-Go's put out Beauty and the Beat when I was in the sixth grade, 10 turning 11. The cover of Beauty and the Beat is, and this is interesting because it's skincare related, is the Go-Go's. They have Noxzema on their faces. Do you remember this cover?
Oh, I remember the Noxzema commercials, of course.
Yep. Well, there's the, okay, so the cover is like the white Noxzema on their faces, and then they've got white towels on their hair and white towels that they're wearing. Okay, my sixth grade girlfriends and I, not very inventively, declared ourselves the Stop Stops. And we put on that whole outfit.
Is there photographic proof of this?
No, thank
Polaroids,
goodness. This is
anything?
The beautiful thing. This is a beautiful thing. Like my, you know, like my undocumented child and adolescence, thank God, right? But so like we were like, oh my God, they're so cool. And there was skincare involved. And we want to be older. And we're pretending to be the Go-Go's. Like we were dead center on the age that this kid is and that these kids are. So I think you're getting the convergence of like loving to collect things, wanting to be older, stuff that smells good, stuff that's fruity, stuff that's pastel colored, like That's all coming together around this.
Mm. But what is it, Lisa, about that age? Like, it feels like this all emerged right as we're exiting elementary school and headed right for middle school. What is going on?
So, I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, because we're seeing two things. Like, we're seeing younger kids involved in this, and we're seeing older girls involved in this. So, like, on the younger girls, the older girls, in some ways, like, it's a different phenomenon. We should talk about it. It's easier for us to somehow take in stride, though it has become very complex, the skincare of older girls. For younger girls, I think it's like there's a beginning of a self-consciousness, right? A beginning of wanting to be mindful of how one looks, a beginning of wanting to be cooler, older, and associating with products and things and items and collections, right? Like, this is just hitting that. For older girls, I think the phenomenon's a little different, and I think it's much more social media driven. One of the things that is very, very true for high school girls and late middle is, and this letter mentions YouTube, but a lot of influencers doing a lot of like posting about their whole day and their elaborate skincare routine as part of it. So I'm hearing from parents of teenage girls, like late high school girls, like the 10-step skincare routine that feels over the top, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously these are related, but they feel sort of different in terms of what's driving them.
Mm. Lisa, I want to pause and take a quick break. And on the other side of this break, I want to ask you a little bit more about high schoolers, but also, what do you think a parent is to do in a situation like this? I understand you're talking about letting them grow a little bit, but for the concerned parents out there, I want to get you to weigh in as well. You're listening to Ask Lisa, The Psychology of Parenting. Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cash back? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Ask Lisa, The Psychology of Parenting. Well, we got this fabulous letter from Romania that we're dissecting about a mom who's actually worried about her relationship with her daughter over luxury skincare products that she feels she doesn't necessarily need, but the whole gang is in on it. Lisa, I want to ask you, I want to back up for a second and talk to you about high schoolers. We were talking a little bit about that moment, elementary into middle school, but should you look at this sort of love affair with skincare and high school girls differently?
I think you can. I mean, obviously, like, there's a lot of overlap, but I think you can. I mean, one is for late middle and high school, skincare does make more sense to be a little focused on because often kids are getting acne, right? Mm. I think that part of what feels so strange about the 9, 10, 11s is like their skin's perfect. It's gorgeous. Like, they don't need all this. as kids get older, right, you remember this, remember this, like having a skincare routine that takes good care of you actually does become a thing in its own right. That doesn't mean it's got to be a luxury product 17-step thing, but there's a basis for this that makes more sense as kids get older. And so we do often need to be having conversations with our teenagers about like, what are you doing for skincare and how can you make sure that you're taking good care of your skin? Now, this gets concerning when kids feel like they need to spend a lot of money or they're using a lot of products that a dermatologist would say not necessary or actually may worsen the situation you think you're trying to address, right? I mean, that can be concerning. But the other place I have some room for this, Rena, with high schoolers is that I think a lot of times teenage girls are turning to skincare as a form of like coping or comforting themselves.
Wait a minute. How so? What do you mean?
Yeah. When I talk with them about like they've had a bad day and it's been a long day and what do they do to help themselves feel better? They will often say like, oh, I do a facial or I do a mask or something. And part of me is like, you know, it's a little self-focused, it's a little vain. And part of me is like, or they could smoke tons of weed, right? Mm. Like, you know, there's lots of ways for kids to take the edge off. And so putting a big asterisk around the cost and the elaboration of it and all of that, as far as like helping themselves feel better after a bad day or comforting themselves or taking good care of themselves, oh my gosh, Rena, I have seen teenagers do so much more destructive things than spend a little on a face mask.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I got the $40 bill from Sephora, I was like, what are you – you mean there's no change back from what I gave you?
Yeah.
But I get what you're saying, that they could be engaged in other behavior and this is like an outlet for them.
Comparatively benign. Okay. Yeah. But let's talk about the cost issue.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that's what this parent brings up, which is like – this is like a lot of money. And I'm up against peers of hers whose parents are spending very, very freely. Okay. So how have you navigated this? Because interestingly, my kid's not into this. So not all kids are into it. She's a seventh grader.
Yeah.
Okay. But it sounds like your kid is. Like, so how are you guys figuring out the cost issue?
Well, I explained to her what other things cost $40 that we do and just groceries. I don't mind. And it was like a sort of once off. She was with her friends and I get it. But I also want her to understand that this is not normal and this should not be a weekly or a regular occurrence. And then she felt very bad and very ashamed. And then I realized I had to have a conversation that it is okay to spend a little bit of money, but 40 is a lot. And I don't want you to have to return. I was very angry about it. In fact, I said, you have to return everything. This is crazy. Mm. But then I realized how important it was to her. And it, you're right. Over the big scheme of like, it just really is not a big deal in the sense of her doing something that's harming somebody else.
Yeah.
But we needed to have that conversation.
Well, and then actually, I mean, as you play it out, like, I'm like, okay, this is a really important conversation we all need to have with our kids at some point. About like what things are worth, what we spend money on. Nice things are nice. I also believe that. Like we shouldn't ruin nice things for kids. But I think as you go forward, could you see yourself getting into a conversation like if she came back and said, now I want this, could you see yourself getting into a conversation of like, I will give you – this is how much I would have spent at the drugstore for you on lotion. I will front you that much. The rest is up to you. Mm-hmm. Or like you have to use your allowance. Like how would you – like if she wanted more, what do you see happening?
I think she appreciated what she had. But if she wanted more, it's like I give her 10 bucks. That doesn't go very far in so many places.
Okay. So you can say like I give you 10 bucks and then like you've got to figure out the rest. Mm. And I think what's hard is sometimes like younger kids don't have a great way to make money. But this gets into, you know, if they've got an allowance that they are saving up. I think you can say to kids like – it doesn't fit with our values to spend this kind of money on lotion. And I think a lot of parents are saying, I don't spend this kind of money on my lotion.
Totally. So you know what she ended up doing?
What'd she do?
Every time we go to Nordstrom, she asks for all the free samples. So I have to hide. I'm so embarrassed.
No, I think that's a great solution.
You do? I'm just so embarrassed. She's like spraying perfumes into tester bottles at Nordstrom. Finally, the lady had to shut her down.
No, very enterprising. I'm impressed. See? They will, they're very resourceful.
They are.
These kids.
I want to go back though to this letter, Lisa, because this mom, you can see that she's really worried about how it's damaging her relationship, because it sounds like the daughter feels like the mom doesn't understand that she needs this, and mm-hmm. the mom has sort of a different set of ideals on this. How would you reconcile that?
Well, it's interesting. Like, that's like when I think about, like, where's the harm here, right? Yeah. So some of the harm is like spending money that doesn't make sense and having to really think with kids about values and money and spending. But the harms I see remaining, one that the mom actually brings up, is actually some of these products actually are not good for kids' skin, right? So work with your dermatologist. You know, that's a line that we hold, right? We don't do anything that's not safe. But really getting into a painful place with her kid about this and feeling at odds with her kid. And I, like, the letter ended so poignantly with something like, do I have to choose between my relationship with my kid and these things, right? Which, that's a terrible place to be.
Right.
So the first thing I would say is that I hope that the way we started about, like, there's a piece of this that's not new and that is integral to 10 and 11-year-olds. You know, it's just taking a very particularly sort of strange form right now. I hope that that helps the parent feel a bit better. I think because right now, the way kids are going at this, it can seem so off-putting that you're like, who is this weird child wanting to shop at these? You know, I was with a sixth grader and I was asking her about this. And she was like, oh, yeah, here are the brands. And she ran them down. She's like, Drunk Elephant, mm-hmm. Ever Eve, or something like. So I went and looked them up. I'm like, holy moly, these are so expensive, right?
Yeah.
So I get it that it can put adults in this position of like feeling a bit appalled. So that's not a great place to start a relationship with a kid, from a sense of being appalled by them. So hopefully there's like a sense of, you know what, this has always been what kids do. Then I think the next thing I would say by way of maintaining the relationship is to appreciate kids get caught up in fads. They're very conscious of what their peers have access to. And it's actually nothing new under the sun for a parent to say, I won't buy what your friend's parents will buy, mm-hmm. right? This is part of parenting. Mm-hmm. And it's also nothing new under the sun for kids to get hurt by that or upset about that. We have to be able to withstand that as parents. Like, we have to be able to let them be upset with us for not buying them what other parents will buy. And one of the things that makes that easier to do is to say, here's where I can meet you halfway. Here's what I would have spent. You can have this much money and you figure out the rest. Or the day will come where you have a job and you can spend your money as you please. And I understand you feel helpless and I'm sorry you feel helpless. And I know that's an uncomfortable feeling. Not changing my mind, not changing my values, but I can be empathic mm-hmm. about the way in which you feel stuck here. So there's ways, even while holding one's ground on values and money and what's appropriate, that we can still be really kind to kids and appreciate they're kind of in a pinch, right? Like, this is the trend of the moment. Other kids are getting stuff they can't have. It feels bad.
Mm-hmm. It makes the kid feel bad.
The kid feel bad. The kid's a bit helpless, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone around them is doing this. They are young. They are concrete in their thinking. They can't really see it the way we as adults see it. And we're the ones who are shutting it down. You can be tender with a kid about the fact that they're caught a bit in that moment.
How much do you think feeding into this cycle is not just friends, but what they're consuming online?
Okay, this is fascinating to me, Rena. For older kids, I think it's very influencer-based, right? That they're looking at, and we've talked, I think, a little bit about like those like that girl videos of like, and it gets to questions of optimization, which we've definitely talked about. Like, here's my perfect day, right? And people put up these curated videos and it's like they're, you know, they wake up, they have their matcha latte, they have their beautiful breakfast, they do this skincare routine. It's often sort of folded into these very popular, very powerful videos for older girls. Now, this sixth grader I mentioned who was running down for me the brands, she does not have social media. Her peers do not have social media. This is getting to them. And also, I mean, the kid, I think in this letter, could be getting it any variety of ways. I can tell you, it is pushing down into the culture, into what's happening, that kids don't have to be on social media. And young kids don't have to be on social media for this to somehow be finding its way to them. And I think often the way it happens is they have a classmate who either is on social media or has older siblings on social mm-hmm. media. So the older siblings are bringing it home. And then the classmate who's getting it from the older siblings is
It's like almost like a virus.
It sounds like a virus because just because you think you've been feeding broccoli and vitamin C to your kid, like the exposure is not, you can't contain it.
They're going to show up at school and like the whole class has caught it and it doesn't matter that they're not on social media because now your kid's exposed, right? I mean, basically it's like a virus now that we think about it. And so sometimes social media is a big factor, but I'm hearing about this with kids whose parents have been very regulated about social media. It's the hot fad trend of the moment, which, Rena, good news, it will soon be replaced by something else. I mean, like, who find me a jelly band, right? Like, those are gone. Jelly bracelet, right? Like, you can't find jelly bracelets, right?
Yes, they
duct
should
tape,
come back.
We have all this, like, colorful duct tape now in our, like, where we keep our, like, tools.
That's hilarious.
Like, it came and then it went.
Yeah. I want to ask you about boys, Lisa. Are boys into beauty products like this the same way that girls are? Is it gender-based here? Like, what do you think?
So here's what I'm hearing. Like, not quite. Like, this is a very centered on girls phenomenon, which isn't to say that boys aren't into it at all. I'm hearing that some boys, and this is, again, social media mediated, like, there's not influencers on boys' worlds. Like, these sort of vibe videos of, like, kind of millennial guy running his life, running it well. There can be skincare stuff involved. And I'm hearing about older boys wanting very expensive skincare, like, products that, like, are not sold at your drugstore. I am hearing about middle school, younger boys, high school, being into cologne.
Oh my
like
God,
expensive
so
cologne.
True.
Right? Are you hearing this?
Yes. My son loves my husband's Old Spice deodorant because it has this cologne-y kind of smell to it.
Yeah.
So, and it just reminds him of his dad and I think maturity. So he loves sneaking into our bathroom and putting using the cologne.
Okay. So I'm hearing about boys like asking for like pricey colognes. And like it used to be like Axe, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you like Axe is like its own. Like we could do a whole episode on Axe. But we're talking way past Axe, right? So if Axe is what skincare used to be for kids, I would say cologne is what's, you know, elaborate skincare has become for girls. Yeah. So it's sort of, you know, these don't map perfectly, but this is a pretty girl phenomenon for now.
And I will say, though, I'm experiencing middle school boy hair gel. This is a thing. Hair gel, like the right hair product, all of a sudden matters in a great deal, at least in my household. That's a sample size of one. Take it for
Well, no, but what I've heard over the years is that boys will say that their hair is the equivalent of girls' makeup. Like that, you know, that wanting to sort of fuss with oneself, present oneself in a particular way that boys, can be very, very preoccupied with their hair and how it's arranged. I you know, and again, let's not forget that we were the same way, right? We were the same way without any YouTube teaching us to be this way, without any, you know, all of these extraordinary marketing machines that can now get to kids in a totally different way. We still were very preoccupied with our own little selves as middle and high school students.
You're absolutely right. So when you look at this and you step back, big picture, the thing that really stood out in this letter to me was the concern the mom had, which you addressed about just not wanting to jeopardize the relationship. So as you've talked in many podcasts about them creating their own identity and sort of separating, what do you want parents to keep in mind as we're kind of walking this fine line of allowing it but not allowing it, of making them feel like they've got the freedom but not letting them damage their face?
Whew, right? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Okay, so here's what I will say. Like, try not to be mad at the kid. Right. I think that that's what's so challenging in situations like this is suddenly you have what feels like a very self-involved, very indulged kid making, you know, wild requests for expensive items. I don't know how you don't almost have like an initial reaction of being angry with the kid. But what I would say is like, see if you can step back from that. That can be the first reaction. And just think about all of the forces that are coming to bear on this kid all at once, wanting to be connected to peers, being on the receiving end of somebody's extraordinarily clever marketing machine somehow, right? Even if they're not holding that phone in their hands themselves. Wanting to collect things, right? Wanting, you know, having envy. You know, it's very hard when your classmates are being given things that you yourself want and you can't get them. That our kids are sort of in a pickle on this one. And it's understandable why they may make us feel angry. I think the more we can try to see the jam they're in, what we can offer and what we won't offer by way of helping them through that jam. I think that's how we can really maintain a relationship, even as they navigate big, huge questions about money, values, appearance, self-preoccupation, like all of these things. These are big topics that are all coming up on this one thing.
Yeah, you're right. It's like there's so much that comes out of this one issue that I did not realize until we dissected it today.
Yeah, no, it's really quite multi-layered and fascinating, right? Fascinating in that way.
So what do you have for us, Lisa, for Parenting to Go?
Well, one thing that does come up in parenting and comes up in this letter is that sometimes kids will want to do things that are actually unsafe. And those are non-negotiables. But there are times when we can pull in a neutral party to help make our point. And so here, either the internet, you know, and reliable sites, or if you have a good pediatrician dermatologist that you can access easily, having that person say, here's why you cannot use these serums at this age. Like, here's the damage it will do. Here's the, you know, the real cost to this in terms of your health. Recruit those people to help, because that actually can diffuse some of the tension with your kid. Rather than being like, I'm the one who's saying you can't have these things, you can be like, we are deferring to experts who are saying this is not a good idea for you. You can do the same around a kid who's not eating enough, right? You can do it the same around a kid whose nutrition you're worried about. Like, you can bring in pediatrician nutritionists to actually help weigh in neutrally on that. And then you can say, as a parent, I'm not doing my job as a parent if an expert is telling us this isn't good for you and I don't go with the expert's advice. So you can neutralize it a bit, stand up for safety, stand up for reality, and explain to your kid, this is part of how I take good care of you, is we get good information about what keeps you safe.
And what a great lesson that they start learning that you've got to collect information to make a decision on anything in life.
Absolutely. And that there's good information to be had and we use it wisely.
Love it. Well, thank you so much. And thank you to this wonderful mom in Romania for writing this letter that just transcends countries. I think everyone is really dealing with an issue. Many people are dealing with issues like this. So Lisa, next week, we're going to talk about a subject that many people go through, breakup. What do you do after your kid goes through a romantic breakup? It's hard to watch.
Hard to watch.
But I'll see you next week.
I'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to asklisa@drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.